And experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for listening to the show that celebrates creating and stories. We're definitely going to have some of that for you today. We're going to have some music and great conversation, and I can't wait to share with you what we're going to be talking about, the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. But first, I've been trying to ruminate on this idea, and I want to try my best to explain what I'm feeling. And so it's a little tricky. I've been working on it, and I don't think I have it quite yet, but it's the way that we mark patterns of life. And I think as a kid, you know, the couple of things that come to mind are, you know, when your birthday becomes sort of the center of your existence, and you're always looking forward to that next birthday. But then, and also you have holidays that you know, particularly enjoy, and that becomes a marker of your time. Maybe, you know, last day of school, first day of school are the things that really signify for you what time of year it is and how time is passing. And as you get older, I think I start to pay attention to those patterns in new ways. And that's what I've been trying to explore and figure out, how we measure time and mark our place in this life. And, you know, one of the things that I find as I get, you know, on in years, I'll just... you know, midlife, let's say. I especially enjoy these transitions from the change of month and the opportunity to look at, you know, passage of life and the seasons and what's upcoming, and maybe reflect a little bit on what has passed. Because for some reason, I think the months come a lot faster than they used to. And that might be part of what changes as we get older. And it just shows us how fast or slow our lives are moving. But I especially think during this time, I start thinking about different ways of marking those times, things that were unexpected. I think that's maybe what's come up for me. And, you know, even in the summer, the pattern's a little bit different as you think of schools out when you're a parent, a little different than you did when school was out as a kid. It means a whole bunch of different ways that everybody's life is going to change. And vacations become different because it's not always, you don't just get to enjoy the ride. You've actually got to create the ride and figure out the logistics and worry about taking care of the house you left behind, or the pets, or the mail, or the bills, and all those things. So it's a whole different way of experiencing life's little journeys. And I think, though, August might be my favorite month of summer as we mark time by the months. It's when the summer for me finally settles in, which is sometimes a little bit too late. And you know, the weather sort of mellows. It becomes a little bit easier to be outside. There's sort of a calmness to the days. I think those days of August are longer than everything, even though the light is less. And I just feel like there's a whole sense in the community of taking a deep breath, and maybe we linger in the moments of summer a little bit to extend that relaxation and pleasure. And that's the time to reset and remember, you know, take in, like, absorb all the warmth you can and the relaxation of summer and the slower times. But I especially love August because it marks the month of the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. And I don't know for you, but this has become a tradition for me to make sure that I have my time at the Bridge Chamber Music Festival concerts. I truly enjoy listening to this extraordinary music and hearing from these incredible musicians, and learning about a whole spectrum of music from classical and jazz and opera. And I just really appreciate that experience of being surrounded by an audience engaged in this exquisite music. I mean, it is extraordinary, the talent that comes to the stage at the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. And also at the same time, kind of getting that moment of being lost in your imagination as you're listening and exploring the music. And it's just the perfect ending and beginning at the very same time. So that's what I especially love about the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. And we are honored today to have in the studio David Carter, who is the artistic director of the Chamber Music Festival. Welcome to Artzany Radio again, David. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks, Paula. It's my pleasure to be here, as always.
It's one of the highlights is being able to come to the studio and perhaps listen to some music with you and learn a little bit about the presentations from this year's festival. So it's always a great time of year.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. As I said, a pleasure to be here, and we opened last night. We had a nice crowd. You were there.
I was there.
As you said.
Yes.
And my dear friend Scott Anderson playing with the members of their Artaria Quartet. So that was a lovely concert.
It was a special treat for me because he is a master of the clarinet and something that I, you know, have always been fascinated with, the sound of the clarinet, mm-hmm. played the clarinet for a while, and really enjoy someone who is brilliant and, you know, able to create sounds that are just so... just clear and, you know, full of expression and just absolutely captivating. And he did a brilliant job with that. It was a Brahms piece, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So great opening. But there's more. So if someone wasn't there, they'll have plenty of opportunities. That's why we're here today, to tell them more about the upcoming concerts.
Exactly.
And people maybe if they're new to town and they don't know you, you are a cellist and professor of music at St. Olaf College. You have been the artistic director of the Bridge Chamber Music Festival since its inception in 20 years ago.
Way back in 99.
I know my kids would say that. I was talking, we heard a song and it was a jive, I think. And I was telling my daughter, I think that's from the 40s or the 50s. And like her brain just went, what? Like she couldn't even fathom how long ago that was.
Exactly. Oh my.
So it's fun to imagine, but to have a festival that's continued for that many years is an extraordinary accomplishment. And we're so lucky in this community to have you as the director of that for all those years.
Well, I'm lucky because there have been great audiences and they're great people to work with. The artists are great. Everyone loves to play chamber music. And I'll tell for the audience members who don't, like, what is chamber music? It's music for where there's one player on a part, usually. So it's a way different experience than if you played in an orchestra and you get caught up in this big sweep of sound. With chamber music, you are the one person on your part and the members of the group interact in a way that you can't in a big orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get your cue from someone else playing their part a certain way, and you think, well, maybe I'll play my part that way, and let's see what this sounds like. So it's a really cool creative experience to be involved in that.
And that's, I think that's something too that since I've been going, I've learned what chamber music can be. I think like a lot of people, maybe before I started, you know, when I was not living in Northfield and didn't attend as many, I always thought it was just classical, which is so not true. It can be anything. Mm-hmm. And that part, I think, is fun and surprising every year, what might be on stage. Because tell us about the varieties of music that you've had over the years that incorporate what is this essential chamber music that you said. I think another piece you taught me was that it's usually self-guided. There's not a conductor or...
Exactly.
It's the musicians themselves who guide the beginning and you know, the way that they want the performance to be.
Exactly. You take turns leading, just like a group. Any kind of group activity, there someone can be the leader and then the rest can follow, and then you take turns being the leader. And I know that it maybe happens a little bit more in the jazz world than the classical world, but sometimes you'll hear one performer playing a certain little figure in the music, a little lick, and then you'll hear another performer playing that same thing.
Yes.
And then they smile at one another. And it's like the coolest thing.
Yeah. And then this isn't a version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a fabulous. And so, folks, if you're looking for information, the website is a little different this year because it's bridgechambermusicfestival.com. So if folks want to go and learn about the concerts, there are a total of 6 concerts throughout the month of August, the end of August here in Northfield. And as we mentioned, it opened last night, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that you've missed. It's just the beginning.
That's right.
There's an opportunity. The next concert is the Young Artist Recital on Sunday the 19th mm-hmm. at 2 p.m. That's a beautiful concert of sometimes first-time performers mm-hmm. of chamber music or solo, and young musicians who, if I recall, come recommended from some of the teachers that you know.
That's right.
And it's a small hall, and so it's a very intimate performance, and it's really just incredible to see how, you know, what kids are doing with music and being there to support them as they begin that new journey of performing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's always a fun concert for me to put together when my colleagues give me the recommendation. So, so-and-so is working on this piece. They'd be great for your recital. So, and then we get to put that together. And this year especially, I think it's going to be, there's a pianist from Owatonna named Brianna Ulrich she played last year. She's playing a piece by Liszt, and there's a violinist from the Twin Cities named Archie Brown who's playing a wonderful piece for violin. A couple of violinists from the cities are going to be playing, and a couple of cellists and a harp player and a clarinetist from Rochester. So I think it's going to be a great recital.
That's terrific that they're drawing from so many parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And so for these students, it's probably their first time meeting each other too.
Exactly. That's right.
And they get to see that there's other kids that do what they do.
Yeah.
And maybe meet some of the other teachers.
Exactly.
And that's a really incredible thing.
Yeah.
But those concerts continue the following week, Tuesday and Thursday, and then Friday and Sunday. So you better just mark off that whole week and just have it ready for the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. I think it's just wonderful. And I think for you, thinking about when you first began mm-hmm. and where you thought it might be, did you ever envision 20 years happening?
Honestly, not. No, it's been, I told the audience last night, when I send out letters of basically asking for money, because we want to keep our ticket prices low, so we rely on donations and grants to fill out the budget. And the response has just been, it's been so it's so humbling. This year after year, people keep donating, and so we can keep going and keep bringing people into play. So it's, no, I had no idea that it was going to it was going to go like this.
What was the impetus, or what was your kind of like, well, I want to start a festival. What was the thought?
So we have this rich cultural life here in town with the two colleges and other organizations. And, but it seemed to me that in the summertime, things kind of dried up and the students left and there weren't as many musical activities. So we thought, let's start a chamber music festival. And originally it was in June. And then we thought, well, maybe August would be a better time, because Minnesota orchestra people who often come down to play, is like, that's, they're not doing anything during that month. And if they're not off doing vacation, they might want to come down and play. And that's turned out to be a good time. And then it seems like we should just keep it at that time, because we're just after Vintage Band.
True.
And the organ series. So we're kind of along in the continuum and just before DJJD. So we're
found a sweet spot.
That's right. In the continuum of summer events in Northfield. So
it's been an incredible opportunity to, you know, bring musicians in, but also I think some, you know, to hear the faculty that are teaching here contribute to the performances as well. And
exactly.
Sometimes, you know, the people outside of their day job, if you will, mm-hmm. And it's fun to see what they can, you know, do and perform. We want to make sure and mention, because you mentioned the $5 ticket price, which I mean, you would pay 10 times that, I think, in other venues and cities
some of the
performances that are a part of the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. Mm-hmm. We do want to make clear, though, that the Young Artist Recital is free to everybody who wants to come.
Exactly. On Sunday. Yeah, that concert is free.
And that's to encourage people to come and support the young artists and to make sure that there's an audience.
The family members and
yes,
so on.
Everyone can come. Mm-hmm. But then we're back on Tuesday. So how do we want to do this this time? Do you want to take a look at any particular concert or just go in order or listen to music? I'll let you kind of direct
the show.
Let's
do all of the above. Okay. Let's do. Tuesday night, the genesis of this recital was last summer. I teach at a summer camp in Michigan. So a bunch of us were sitting around. I live with a bunch of pianists. My wife is a pianist. And in our house, there are five or six pianists who live there. And they were all talking about all this wonderful music for voice and piano. And I started thinking, maybe we should do a bridge chamber concert that's vocal. It's all vocal. So I contacted, who would I contact? My buddy, Dan Dressen, who I work with at St. Olaf, who's a wonderful tenor. I said, Dan, I want to do a concert of song. And so he steered me in a certain direction. And a pianist I know at Augsburg College, Sonia Thompson, got involved. So we came up with this program. And the first track, actually the first six tracks, we don't have to listen to all six of them, but on the CD is by a Swedish composer named Gunnar Defremery.
That and doesn't sound very Swedish, but he could be.
And they're Songs of the Heart is the title of these compositions. So we could listen to a little bit of that. And I think the listeners will find that it's late Romantic era music.
And is that cut number one?
That should be, yes.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and start it. And here's what I love about this particular summer program that we do is that you teach us about the music as it plays. Mm. And I think that there's something extraordinary about that. So let's take a listen. I'll just start it and you can talk through it.
We think it's going to work, so fingers crossed.
Right,
So this is a wonderful Swedish soprano, Ann-Sofie von Otter. And so you can hear that it's, well, the term we'd use in musical language is consonant. That means the harmonies are restful, I guess is a way to describe it. It's not dissonant, it's consonant. There's a calmness to this music that is very engaging. So Dan Dressen, the tenor who will be singing this on Tuesday night, is a specialist in Scandinavian art song. So he found this particular group of songs, and he'll be joined by Nicola Melville, who teaches at Carleton College. She's the piano faculty and chair of the music department for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. So it's very melodic. Also on this program are a group of songs by the Danish composer Carl Nielsen, and that's going to be sung by this fabulous soprano Maria Jetty, and she's had this wonderful active career as a performer in doing opera and doing art song and doing musical theater type pieces. So we could just play a little bit of the next track, too.
Sure. That was extraordinary. Yeah. And I think it's also fascinating that Dan will be singing. So there's going to be a slightly different sound, being the male voice. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You mentioned calming. And you also said something with consonants and dissonance. So maybe let's revisit that idea of what that meant in the music and what we heard that represented that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear a little bit more from
you. Sure. Yeah. Well, if let's see, maybe the best way to describe it is if you hear a sound in music that you think, that's not the last chord, is it?
Okay. It hasn't resolved.
It hasn't resolved. That's a good way of saying it. It's not like you have an argument with your friend and you're waiting for saying, oh, I'm sorry. It's more like you can sense that there's a motion to the music that it needs to go somewhere before you can end. And late romantic music is full of things that want to resolve, but it takes a little while. And that's the, if someone listens to the music and say, oh, that sounds really, it's turbulent and then it resolves. So if we could play the next track,
sure.
Maybe I can
track
find
two.
I can find a spot that is a little bit less settled and then it calms down.
Okay. So here's track two. This is still from the concert.
Songs of the Heart by Gunnar Dufremery. You can kind of feel the music. It's a lot of the same notes, but subtle changes. And that's going to, oh yeah, that just result. See, it felt, we just hit a bass note, and that's, a little bit of dissonance, and it's moving around. Ooh. And then it settles on one chord for a little while. And then it, back to their opening material. So sometimes composers use the texture, like this is a little thinner. And then we might hear contrast in a second to something that's, or not. Transparent, maybe, is another way of saying this. Oh. It gets a little tiny bit thicker. And now a little thicker still. Chords change relatively quickly, and there's a lot of variety. Most pop songs use a couple of different chords, but art music tends to use many different harmonies. It's kind of like, well, I go to my favorite Italian restaurant and have a pesto sauce that's, oh, it's got basil and pine nuts and olive oil and cheese. It's got four ingredients. And then, oh, okay, but I could have something else that's got eight ingredients, and it's equally good, but it's more complex. So food is great, so I love to talk about food in relation to music.
Well, I think, yeah, and I think that what's also pretty extraordinary is that, what was the language that the song is? It is Swedish?
Swedish, yes.
And but yet we still can, you know, emotionally connect, even if we don't know what the words mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. There's a story that's being told there, as you mentioned, sort of the way the sounds mm-hmm. play out can give you that intimacy with that piece mm-hmm. that I think is pretty wonderful. I hadn't heard that idea of the multiple ingredients to make a piece of art music. Mm. And that, yeah, that is something, I did want to make sure we mentioned to listeners about the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. This concert is on Tuesday, mm-hmm. August 21st. All the concerts are at 7:30 p.m. for the chamber concerts. And the locations vary, so I suggest that you take a look at the BridgeChamberMusicFestival.com. This particular one will be at the White Center for Creativity mm-hmm. At Carleton College. And is this in the new performance
space? It's in the new concert hall.
Oh, my goodness.
I forget exactly the name. I know it's got a title, which I can't remember right now, but it's exciting. That's a great space, so we're excited to be in that after the old concert hall with... And which was wonderful acoustically, but it had its drawbacks. So They've really outdone themselves in this new hall.
Yes, I've listened to a concert or two there, and, mm-hmm. and it is, it, if you just go for that. So, mm-hmm. but then it alternates between Carlton and St. Olaf.
Yes.
So folks will want to check out the locations. But one thing I want to mention is what I love doing is the night of the first concert is to pick up the program, mm-hmm. because the program notes are so instructive and full of details, not only about the performers or the groups, but about mm-hmm. the music itself.
Mm.
So I want to give a shout out. Who puts those together, and how is that part of the story of the Bridge Chamber Music Festival created?
Well, I used to write the program notes myself, and then I thought, wait a minute, this would be a wonderful project for a student to do. So the person who wrote the notes this year, her name is Penelope Musto. She's one of my students at St. Olaf. So she wrote them, and I looked them over and made a few tiny little edits. So that's how those came to be.
Yeah, they're a great thing to be able to mm-hmm. just as you're waiting for the concert to begin or during mm-hmm. intermission to sort of, you know, what is it I'm listening to and
yeah.
how should I hear this?
Right.
And I think that's an important part of the concert experience when you have that expertise. And I want people to not be intimidated by that.
Yeah, they shouldn't
because
be.
If you don't understand, because there's a lot in there, sometimes I don't know what, you know, a B minor versus a,
sure.
you know, when they're talking, there's some technical thing. But it doesn't change the way you experience it, but it mm-hmm. allows you to maybe have something to go look up when you go back home. Or
and we'll be talking about, too, as the concerts go by, we'll be each one of the performers will be talking about the music, so to help people get a little bit more of a handle as to what they're hearing and how it relates to other pieces and
yes.
and so on.
So I think that's it's a great educational opportunity mm-hmm. as well. And that's one of the rich, wonderful things about Northfield that I enjoy is that people are willing to share that expertise mm-hmm. and, you know, not presume or, you know, make people feel uncomfortable because they maybe this is their first time listening
sure.
to a piece
yes.
by this composer
yes.
or, you know, a lot of people will not have heard of this Scandinavian
sure.
music.
Yeah.
And so to have that and have an expert who's here in town. I mean, that's extraordinary.
Well, expert might be a little stretching it, but anyway.
Specialty.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Focus
that's right.
on that. Was our next piece? Do you want to move to that?
Sure, that sounds great. We could go to track, let's see, I think it might be track 7. Let's see.
Okay,
I've got
we'll
that right.
see.
We
what...
talk about Thursday night's concert is this music of Brahms, Schumann, and Dvorak.
And that's the Bridge Chamber Players.
That's right.
And that's you.
That's right. That's that's myself. That's Francesca Andreg, my violin colleague, Mr. Gray, Charles Gray, my viola colleague, my lovely wife, Esther, and my piano colleague, Nancy Paddleford. We'll all be playing on that recital.
So let's see what number 7 is,
okay.
and we'll find out if this
okay.
is what we were looking
right.
for.
Oops. Sorry, Paula, could we go back to 6?
Of course. Yep. That's the magic of having a cassette. I said CD.
Oh, nope. So I put these, I forgot what the order I made this CD in. So let's go to 6, 7. Well, let's hold a line on Thursday night, and I can talk about the final concert. So can we go back to track 7, please?
Of course, yes. So folks, we're learning
jumping
as we go.
Yeah,
so we'll
right.
go back to 7. So here we go. Here's 7 again.
So here's music by Mozart. On this recital series this year, I'm doing my bucket list because I'm going to turn over the planning of the group of this festival to my colleague Francesca starting next year. So I thought, well, for my last year, I just want to play pieces that I've been wanting to play for years. And this particular piece is by Mozart. It's a quintet for strings. So we've got 2 violins, 2 violas, and a cello. And this piece is one of the last pieces, a very late piece by Mozart, when Mozart played the viola himself. So he when he wrote this set of pieces with an extra viola, string quartet plus an extra viola, the first viola part has all these wonderful lines in it, and this sounds to me like it sounds like it could be from an opera. It's so dramatic. and you can hear the middle register where those violas play. A viola is a little bit lower than a violin. It just gets enriched. And it's like you have an Oreo and there's triple stuff in it. Not just double stuff, but triple stuff. So this piece will be played by myself and Francesca, my colleague, two members of the Minnesota Orchestra, Peter McGuire, who's a violinist, and Sam Bergman, who's a violist, and then one of my viola friends from Gustavus, whose name is Justin Knepfel. So we're going to have a lot of fun playing this, and this is the final concert we're going to be doing. Sunday night, 7:30, back at Carlton. And so we could go to the next track now, Paula, if you...
Of course, yeah. I want to go ahead. And first, you know what I want to ask you, because you sort of slipped in there this idea that this is your last year as the artistic director.
This is it.
And so you should tell us a little bit about that process. And so I think it's great that you're doing your bucket list of things that you always, if I'm in charge, this is what I want to do.
Right. Right. Well, it's, 20 years is a long time to be doing this. And I think the festival needs, it needs new ideas, and it needs some new people to be involved. So I'm going to stay on the board. I'm going to continue writing grants and helping out however I can.
And will you be performing as well?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't feel like I really need to play any more pieces of course I'll still do faculty things, but I think on this festival, I don't feel the need to play anymore. So that's up to Francesca, my colleague, Francesca Andereg, who is a wonderful violinist, and she's brilliant. I mean, she's a brilliant person. She's a great violinist, and she's a dear friend of ours.
And so she'll be playing with you in two separate concerts.
That's right. She's playing twice this summer, and then she's going to take over. We've already been talking about 2019. Grants have been written, fingers crossed on that, to do concerts with people from the area. And with luck, we'll bring in some groups from outside the area, some New York-based groups that if these grants come through, we'll be able to do that. So we're really excited about possibilities moving forward.
Well, that's a big transition, and it's exciting to see what might happen. And I hope there's ample opportunity during this Bridge Chamber Festival season to celebrate your accomplishments. And I just think that it's built something so incredible, and I'm just thrilled that we have this opportunity. So I hope I can build some relationships with Francesca, so she'll be able to.
Oh, I'm sure you will
come and share her musical knowledge as well. And or you can come too.
Absolutely.
Anytime. I love what you do. So let's keep listening to music. So we jumped ahead, as you said. So that was from the Sunday concert.
Right. So I think we got another piece from the Sunday concert I think the next one is by Mendelssohn.
Okay. Which number is that going to
be? I think that should be 8.
Okay. Let's see what comes up when we hit the button and find out. Here we go. Number 8. Here it comes.
Oh, okay. Can we jump ahead to 9?
And I should explain for folks that we actually are... David has made a special CD for us, so we're there's no guide to it. So we're going by...
Was me at midnight last night thinking, okay, I got to put the CD together. I'm excited to talk to Paula, but I need a CD, so I can't remember the order.
Let's play number 9, see what happens. I love it. It's kind of like a little treasure every time.
Oh, good. Okay. So we're doing this Mendelssohn quartet. This is the first quartet that Mendelssohn wrote. Felix Mendelssohn, German composer, born in 1809, died in 1847. Was a child prodigy as a performer and a composer. And a lot of the pieces we love of Mendelssohn, like Midsummer Night's Dream and some of the chamber pieces he wrote when he was a teenager. This piece he wrote when he was 19. And if you think about the music that he wrote for the Midsummer Night's Dream, this piece is like that. It's called a canzonetta, which is another word for song. And it's, you can almost see in your mind's eye the Midsummer Night's Dream with misty landscapes and fairies sneaking around in the shadows. And then there's a story to why I chose this piece too, but I just want people to listen to this. It's very charming and very ethereal. There's the mist and the moonlight, and now minor, now it's major. I don't think we're going to play it this fast, by the way. Not quite. So Mendelssohn had this way of writing this very evocative music about places. So you think, oh, this could be out in the mists and the moonlight, like the moon rising over Union Lake or something like that. So this is the second movement of the first quartet that Mendelssohn wrote. Okay. So here's the story of why I chose this particular piece. And I told Francesca about it. She said, oh, I love that piece. When we work with young musicians in either it's St. Olaf or summer camps that we do, this is often one of the first chamber music pieces a young string player will play. And usually it's this movement. And usually they don't play this fast. So this piece that a lot of us know from our youth, we don't get a chance to play those pieces again usually. It's funny, we coach them a lot, but it's not often we actually get to perform them. So the idea of playing this was very appealing to me. And, revisiting those memories of when we were young string players, just learning the craft. And it's great music. It's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you mentioned that I wanted to one was when you said, well, I don't think we'll play it this fast. So that's interesting to me that there's a range of ways that the expressions that you can have with the music. Mm-hmm. And so that's just determined by the tempo is by the group, by yes. The way that they want to. So it's really important then that the entire ensemble be
exactly
all on the same page about that.
Right. It's like, I can't really do that bow stroke quite that fast. Is it okay if we slow it down a little bit?
Yeah. And I didn't know that was really an option.
Oh, it totally is, because the group's got to stay together. So
you have to match everybody's abilities and desires and
strengths and weaknesses. So
yeah. And when you say that in that piece, it's a couple of things. It's fascinating that he wrote that as a teenager, mm-hmm. To think about the musical mind that, mm-hmm. He had developed even at that young age, mm-hmm. is extraordinary. But mm-hmm. then you think too, that's was pop music, right? That was what was the in vogue, and so he was exposed to it probably a whole lot.
Exactly. Yep, he sure was.
And the other thing I think of is tapping feet, because you know, I remember some of my first band concerts. I'm sure every single student was out there keeping the beat.
That's great.
And that's something that as you get mm-hmm. better, you're able to communicate with each other what is our tempo, mm-hmm. and listen for cues in the music. And pick up that. So it's lovely that you're going back to a piece that may have been something that was performed in one of your first, you know, earlier performances.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's a reason to go to Sunday's concert, mm-hmm. which is at 7:30 at that one's again at the White Center for mm-hmm. Creativity. And Triocracy is also playing there. That's a group that I don't think has played before.
They have not.
Yeah.
J.C. Sanford, the wonderful trombone player who's relocated to Northfield just in the last few years after spending a lot of time in New York. One of the groups that he's in. So it's two saxophone players and trombone, and they're going to do a lot of original compositions and arrangements of tunes from, it seems like, every era. So I think it's going to be just a creativity, just mind-blowing what we're going to hear.
And so that's a wonderful thing about this festival is the sounds that you hear mm-hmm. are, you know, so varied. Mm-hmm. You will not get bored with one. So that's why every concert is one you can go to.
Exactly.
Now we're going to backtrack. So again, that was on the end closing
that's
night.
Sunday, right.
But then on, which one do you want to go to? Thursday?
Yeah, let's go to Thursday. I think it's track. It's 8 now that we can play.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
We'll go back and we'll see what's happening at number 8 here. Here we go.
So this, good, okay.
Oh, so we jumped right in.
That's right. So this is a piece by Johannes Brahms, the great German romantic composer. And it's a piano quartet, which is for violin, cello, viola, and piano. And this piece is called Hungarian Rondo. And so it's meant to evoke basically gypsy violin playing. So you can hear all these madcap runs, fast notes. And at the concert Thursday, we're going to play a little excerpt from it and say, okay, listen for this, listen for that. This is the really interesting point about this. Because it's a long piece, and so it needs a little bit of breaking down, I think. And here's a contrasting idea. All burbly and happy. So this is the final movement of the piece. And it's pretty much pedal to the metal all the way through. It's very, very exhilarating, exuberant and exhilarating. We may not play quite this fast.
I'm just trying to envision the way the fingers are flying across the keyboard
right.
on this
That's
and
right.
having a hard time, you just like I'm almost breathless. I'm thinking of Flight of the Bumblebees or something
That's
like
right.
that.
Exactly. It's that kind of madcap rush to the end.
Yeah.
And a rondo, the title of this movement, Hungarian Rondo, that means the ideas come back from time to time. So that's what we're hearing now is the opening idea. And Brahms, when he was a young man, played a lot with a Hungarian violinist. They did tours together. And so that's where I think he absorbed this style. And now here's right, this is a typical Hungarian rhythm. I'm told this is a typical Hungarian rhythm. Yep. It's not so easy to hear in this part, but the short note comes first. So, da-da, 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 da. You'll hear it here in a second. Da-da, 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 da. Short note first. Instead of dun, da-dun, 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 it goes, and there, contrasting lyrical theme here. And it, not surprisingly, a movement like this that's got all this rhythmic energy ends with a big flourish. So, as one of my friends said about another piece, he said, I think the audience will know when to clap when it's all done. And it's sometimes you reflect on that. It's like, oh, in music that's art music, composers have to think of a really convincing way to end it. If you're playing a pop song, often on recordings, they do a fade out, right? You just hear the music fading off into the silence before the next track on the recording. But pop art music pieces need to end with something very definite. So there won't be much mistaking when this piece ends. So that's the Thursday night concert.
So we're going to have our listeners be ready to at the concert to try and hear that for them. Yes.
That's right.
And I'm glad you brought up that idea of clapping, because I think that is something that the tradition in classical performances, and probably for chamber music too, mm-hmm. then, is you don't clap between movements.
Yeah.
And I've often wondered about that, because, you know, sometimes the performance is, you know, you're just, you are moved. You are, mm-hmm. Just want to celebrate. Wow, that was incredible. But that's not the practice.
That's true. And I think my understanding is that started right around the beginning of the 1900s with, at symphony concerts, people used to clap all the time between movements, but the tradition started in right around 1900 with a conductor named Gustav Mahler, a composer conductor. And so they had people stop doing that for whatever reason, but it's okay if you clap between movements. It's completely fine.
Oh, that, I was wondering that, because it is one of those, you know, if you're unfamiliar, you're a little mm-hmm. unsure what,
yeah.
you know, how, like, what is the etiquette here?
Yeah.
And it's just a tradition. It doesn't, you know, maybe they were clapping so much that the concerts were going hours and hours,
that
right?
That could actually be.
And so they wanted to make sure that people got home at a reasonable hour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. Time is flying as we're having this great time. I'm with David Carter. We're talking about the Bridge Chamber Music Festival, which opened last night but continues. So check out the website, bridgechambermusicfestival.com. The schedule is posted there. It's really easy to find. We've talked about three of the concerts. We have just a few minutes left.
We've got one more track.
Okay, so we're going to play something from the Friday, August 24th concert.
That's right.
Again, they're all at 7:30 p.m., mm-hmm. and this one is at St. Olaf.
That's right, in Ernest Recital Hall. So this is Sam Miltich, the great guitar player from Northern Minnesota.
He's so incredible.
And they played half a program for us last year, which was so great. I said, could you please come back? And Gary Schulte, the violinist, is playing with him again. So this is a little track, Sam and Gary.
Which playing. Track number?
It's the very last one. Let's see.
10?
10, yeah.
Okay, so tell me when to start.
You can go right ahead. Sam was explaining what gypsy jazz was. So right after World War One, when the French, they were totally captivated by American jazz. This tune is called Belleville. And Sam said, gypsy jazz, they were performers who, they didn't have a lot of money, and they traveled all the time. So can you bring a piano with you? Probably not. Can you bring a drum set with you? Probably not. So that's why this jazz style developed rhythm guitar. And you can hear Sam on the what's called the backbeat. That dry sound imitating a drum set. It gives the music great rhythmic drive. And Gary playing it. My goodness. He plays the violin so beautifully. And so that's why, if you can't bring a piano, well, why don't you bring an accordion? So that's why a lot of French jazz has an accordion instead of a piano. So this concert will be Gary and Sam, and they actually have a drummer for this concert, so, and a bass player named Chris Bates, who's played for us many times, who's really great. Doing more gypsy jazz. It's going to be so fun. And Sam talks to the audience, and he'll tell us everything we need to know about hearing it.
I am a big fan, and so he was here. Was it last year?
It was last year, yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought, wow, this is... It's just mesmerizing, mm-hmm. and there's not a program. He does. Yeah. I think as he is inspired,
they
and
announce it from the stage. Yep, exactly,
and announce it from the stage. That's what the word phrase I was looking for.
And they were thrilled to come down and play in the recital hall at St. Olaf. It's all acoustic. There's no amplification, so it's really going to be a really great sonic experience too.
And so just in this show that we've done, think about the variety of music we have played, and that's what's so great about this festival. Just some brilliant performers, and I thank you so much for the efforts that you put in. And I know you have an incredible board that supports you, mm-hmm. and a lot of volunteers, and it's a great experience. Mm. So I am excited to once again be in that time of the season of this particular time of August to be a part and of the audience of the Bridge Chamber Music Festival.
Oh, thanks, Paula. Can I say one thing real quick?
Absolutely.
It's my daughter's 25th birthday. Happy birthday, Rosie.
Yay, happy birthday, Rosie. I'm glad we got that in. And yes, she's a bundle of energy as well, and incredible to imagine that she's all grown up now.
That's right.
And so, folks, I hope that you will join us again. Visit bridgechambermusicfestival.com for all the details. You can preview the shows, look at the list of musicians and the pieces, and get your brain set to go and enjoy some fabulous music. I've got a couple other things I want to very quickly mention. One is the Northfield Arts Guild Art and Ale is happening this weekend. That is on Saturday. You can get your tickets now at northfieldartsguild.org. It is a great celebration that helps support creativity at the Arts Guild. It features local craft and homebrew, adult make and take art activities, live music, mug shots, exhibition, and so much more. So visit northfieldartsguild.org for those details. And next week, Thursday night at 7 at Content is the third annual Back to Book Club night. It's a wonderful evening where the Penguin Random House rep comes and talks about some new books and some gems that he loves, and it's a great opportunity for book clubs to maybe plan your schedule for the next year, kind of your back to school night. So great things happening. I appreciate that you listen. I hope that you always add some Art Zany to your life, and I thank you for being a part of the show. I hope that in the meantime, until next time, you enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.